Hello, this is the Daily Encouragement Net podcast for Wednesday, June 2nd, 2010. We are Stephen and Brooksine Weber. We call our ministry Daily Encouragement Net, and each weekday morning we prepare these messages to encourage and to instruct in the Scriptures. Today's message is titled, Do Something, and that phrase is taken from a verse from Jeremiah 14, verse 7.
Although our sins testify against us, O Lord, do something for the sake of your name. For our backsliding is great, we have sinned against you.
Jeremiah lived during the years immediately prior to Israel's destruction and captivity in Babylon. The spiritual and physical conditions were horrific, as was the present drought that was devastating the land. God's judgment fell not only on the idolaters, but also upon his own people. And that story can be told in some graphic detail in Lamentations 2. Jeremiah pleaded with the people to repent, turn to God, and earnestly prayed as expressed in the daily scripture text.
He begins with a confession of sin. Again, our sins testify against us. For our backsliding is great. We have sinned against you. Jeremiah did not argue the basis of God's judgment, but readily acknowledged the sins that were an inarguable testimony against the character of God's people. He appealed to God's mercy based on his sinless character, and he appealed to his honor and his glory.
He goes on in the text, and actually it's the middle part of the text. O Lord, do something for the sake of your name. Excuse me. I find his appeal so interesting, reflecting the desperation of the times, especially that phrase, do something, which he cried out without being specific in the text. As I consider the state of our country and world today, I find myself also using this non-specific appeal. I want God to act, but I'm uncertain of what those actions will look like, or how they will be played out. The great sins in our land and in the world are considered. Will this action be, first of all, the return of God's Son in the culmination of the church age? Or secondly, a great revival with a restoration to living by God's standards? Or will there be a pouring out of God's powerful judgment? Well, I sense we are at some type of tipping point, and soon we will find out. Our call, however, God acts, is to stay faithful.
The basis of Jeremiah's appeal was, for the sake of your name. Surely Jeremiah was considering much more than his own personal comfort and well-being, and more than that of the people he cared so deeply for. He was concerned for the sake of God's name. He had seen the mighty acts of God in the past and certainly didn't want God to be viewed by the unrighteous as a powerless, helpless God. He was surrounded by visible yet inanimate and powerless Godhead figures of the unbelieving nations. He mentions this further down into the chapter in verse 22. Do any of the worthless idols of the nations bring rain? Well, surely he wondered how all this fit in with the promised Messiah and the establishment of God's kingdom. Well, God did indeed do something, although it wasn't in the typical fashion of fairy tales that usually sums up their stories with, and they lived happily ever after. Indeed, God's judgment came upon the land, and the Israelites were taken captive in Babylon. Yet God will always have a plan for his people, even if it is carried out while in captivity or under his judgment. Those who remain faithful to him are known as the remnant.
And that concept is found throughout the scripture, the concept of the remnant, but I have a link to a text, Ezra 9:13, that is one place where that is mentioned. Today, God is doing something and will continue to do something. He is reigning, and his kingdom will come. May our driving cry for God's intervention, in whatever form it may be revealed, not be so much for our personal comfort, but for, and I quote again from the text, the sake of God's name. Notwithstanding the reality of evil, be deeply assured today that God's ultimate plan for his children is always indescribably good.
Let's pray. Father, we too must cry out with Jeremiah. Our sins testify against us. Our behavior reflects the inner desires of our hearts, and all too often it does not reveal godlike character. Worthless idols are of greater desire to many of us, and has replaced the devotion that once belonged only to you. We repent of our sins and seek your intervention to heal our land for the sake of your name, for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, it's a bit different of a message today, but one that I think needs to be shared. Thank you for joining us. We are, again, Stephen and Brooksine Weber. We are on the web at dailyencouragement.net, where we post these messages in a written form, along with photos and supplemental music. This is the message we prepared for Wednesday, June 2nd, 2010. And I'll post today. We have a story to tell. Mentioned yesterday, in yesterday's message, a very severe storm that passed through our area on Monday. And yesterday afternoon, I got a call from my neighbor, Lynn, and he told me that his dad's barn had come down and welcomed me to come over and take a look, which I did. Now, this is interesting, because these are Old Order Mennonite folks. They have a devout faith in the Lord. They probably worship different than most all that are listening to today's message. They have a very... I guess you'd call it an old-fashioned style of worship. We've been in the services, but we certainly heard the Word of God preached. I can't say we were too familiar with very much of the singing they did. But and both Lynn and his dad have a resignation. They're just going to rebuild. It's interesting, though. The barn was built in 1815, so almost 200 years old, and it was a stately brick barn. And that was interesting in itself, at least the side that caved in. When it destroyed the entire barn. We do have some photos of that today. We also have some musical selections, as we typically do, and both are songs by Don Moen. I don't know whether he wrote them, but he's a singer in today's examples. And one is actually a happy song, which may not necessarily go, but I think I thought of it because of the last phrase, that God is always indescribably good. And it's a song popular probably back in the 90s, and it became kind of a little cliche phrase, but God is good all the time.
And then another. All the time.
And
God
all the time.
God is good.
God is good. Many of you remember that. And also a song also by Don Moen that has blessed so many people, titled God Will Make a Way, which is a reminder that God will help us regardless of the circumstances we face. Well, again, thanks for joining us today. It's a blessing to have this form of ministry. Just this morning, we received a note from a believer in Pakistan that signed up to receive our daily messages, and that is especially heartening to know that not only are we able to encourage many throughout our home country, the United States, but people all over the world through these messages.
And I find it significant that it was a young boy, a young teenage boy, and how wonderful
it was.
God will use him over the years to change the face of that nation.
In Islamabad. I almost wonder if we misunderstood him. He said he's 15, but then again, maybe that didn't need to be serious, for God starts early if you're going to serve God in some of those harder countries. So we bless this man today, and this young man today, as well as all of our listeners and readers. May God encourage you to stay faithful regardless of how God acts.